You're listening to KRVS Lafayette Lake Charles. Right now we're going to head into the interview studio with Judith Merriweather.
And with me in the KRVS studios right now is Jesse Guidry with Vermilionville and John Sharp, who is the Assistant Director for Research at the Center for Louisiana Studies here at UL Lafayette. He's a documentary filmmaker and folklorist and is curating the monthly Les Vues series this month at Vermilionville. It's a new film series that Jesse put together, and it's already gaining accolades, and people are really enjoying it, Jesse. What was, before we talk specifically about this particular program tonight, tell us just about Les Vues and what your thought was.
Well, it's a monthly film series that we host the last Monday of every month, starting at 6:30. And it kind of grew out of we spent some money on a really nice projection system and just kind of looked at what you know, things that we weren't offering that could be an asset to the community. And one of the things that struck me was film. We have such access to great film around here and such film enthusiasts and researchers. I just thought it would be great, and so came up with this concept of having somebody, I guess, curate, for lack of a better word, each month, so they would send me what film they want to show that has to do with culture. It's the only requirement that I gave them. And you know, they just kind of give me some choices, and from there we try to get it booked and try to find things that people want to see. And of course, you know, wanted it to be accessible to everyone, so we're trying, you know, making it free and open to the public. We do accept donations, of course, just, you know, because it does cost to get screening rights for some of these films and some other costs that go along with it. But for the most part, just kind of wanted to offer kind of something different at Vermilionville that people weren't already exposed to.
Well, and a really nice idea to have someone curate it. As you said, we have so many experts in culture and folklore and film here in this area, and to use their talents and resources. And it makes it very personal. Mm. I think people really enjoy knowing that someone really chose this, not just something picked out of a hat, mm-hmm. but that someone made a really conscious decision and knows a lot about the material that's being presented. And so John Sharp is with us, not only a folklorist, but a documentary filmmaker yourself. And you tell us about your films. You had a wonderful, lovely little film about kind of a vanishing community down in South Louisiana.
Yeah, the name of that film is Water on Road, mm-hmm. The Disappearing Community of Ile de Jean Charles, Louisiana. And it's about the Native American community and their struggles to survive through, you know, the road washing away and climate change, you know, and just the fact of there's a levee built by their community, but it was built on the inside of the island, so their days are numbered there. And just spent time down there and got to meet some people, and I just found it a fascinating place,
right.
That I wanted to make sure that people knew about it. And it's a story that I think will become, communities like that will become more common and will become more in the public eye over the next couple of decades, I think.
Right. And interestingly enough, kind of in the tradition of the filmmaker that you chose to show tonight, Lomax, so many of the people that he documented decades ago, and even what we think of as recent in the late 70s, early 80s, already that's in the past, and so many of those people have passed on, certain traditions have disappeared. So you're following in that tradition, and people who are here today just maybe disappearing with those roads. So you're also working on a really interesting film. Just kind of want to give people a sense of how accomplished you are and how wonderful it is to have you curate this series. You're working right now on a dance halls film.
That's right. I'm working on a documentary about the dance halls of South Louisiana. And that's been it's a really exciting project for me. I get to do a lot of field work and go, speak to people who a lot of times are very surprised that anyone wants to hear what they have to say, because they say that's old and nobody cares about that anymore. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's partially kind of a detective work to find out where places used to be, the people that owned them, the people that frequented them, the bands that played there, even down to the favorite kind of beer at a place. It's just an interesting, it's an interesting project, and you know, to learn about all the different jobs and dance halls, and you know, the many different things. Dance halls are different to – they filled a lot of different needs for different people. So I, you know, quite frequently hear that people met – couples met in the dance hall. They were, you know, then they may – and they courted in the dance hall. And then sometimes they were married in the dance hall. It was also a place to, you know, get into a little trouble. Have a little fun, isn't there? A lot of those stories, you know, everything from fights to worse, lots of just different, very amazing stories that come out that people are very happy to tell. So I've been working on that for about a year, and I have several more months left, I think, and because it's there's new material shows up every day.
Oh, it's nice to hear you describe it as a detective work, because you are reaching back into the past for those memories and images of places that were once so ubiquitous here in South Louisiana.
Sure.
And I'm sure there are many of us who wish that wouldn't it have been nice if somebody had an iPhone back in the 50s or 60s and they were just filming one of those
right.
You know, well, incidents?
One of the things that's really – and it helps me to appreciate the work that people did before in that – there, I have a list, and now it has over 650 dance halls and bars. Well, now they're not all, you know, probably someone would say that they wouldn't define a couple of those places as dance halls, but.
But a dance or two may have taken place.
Right. But they had a dance floor, they had a jukebox, and the live band played there. So
those are good requirements.
Yeah. And those are my requirements. I don't want to, I'm scared to leave anything out. But, you know, I asked people, even people that owned the dance halls, they, do you have a picture of it? And they say, no, I never did take a picture. And that strikes me as strange. But then when you think that a camera was expensive, processing film was expensive. And this
was dark in the dance halls.
A dark inside. This is a place where people spent a good part of every day. And I think some of them, the last thing they thought was, man, I need a picture so I can remember this one day.
Because there were probably many people in the dance hall who didn't want to be photographed, didn't want their images anywhere.
I still, you still run into that a little bit today. But it just keeps it interesting. Yeah. It's fun.
And he does post pictures on, I believe you have a Facebook page.
I sure
do. The dance halls, and I find those interesting because he usually snaps a picture and then you know, gives a little tidbit fact and then asks people to chime in. So it's a good way to get involved in that project as well.
So find that Facebook page. It's called Dance Halls of South Louisiana.
I believe it is.
Okay.
That's right.
You can find it and keep up with what John is doing, his detective work in the field of dance halls. Well, tell us a bit about Alan Lomax, who was a detective in his own day, but was actually busily, I guess, collecting current things. Things were happening at that time. So you wouldn't have to search for it in the past.
Right.
So tell us about Alan Lomax for those people who don't know about him.
Well, Alan Lomax, his father, John Lomax, was a collector of ballads and folklore. And he was based out of Austin, Texas. And at a very early age, Alan Lomax got really interested in this work. And he would... You know, he would be in a car with his dad, and back then, their portable recording equipment wasn't very actually portable. they would basically recreate a small studio in the trunk of their car, and they would, you know, a 300-pound acetate inscribing disc recorder, and they would go around and find, you know, seek out interesting people. And they made themselves very busy looking at things that were not commercial recordings. They wanted to get the music of the folk. Mm-hmm. They weren't interested in the widely known recorded material.
Well, when did John Lomax start? Just kind of give us a sense of their full range. How far back do his recordings go?
John Lomax, I believe he started on wax cylinders. So that would have been in, I think, the 20s. Then Alan Lomax started his first trip out with his father was to Louisiana. So he started in, he was in on the 1934 and 1937 expeditions to Louisiana.
Well, and you're pointing right now at an amazing set of LPs that we have here at KRVS, and I think you chose a couple for Cecil to play just so we can get a sense of how far back it goes and what kind of music we're talking about. And I do want to tell people that we're leading up to talking about a film, the film series Les Vues. John Sharp is curating the film that will be tonight at Vermilionville, and they are some excerpts never before seen, I guess excerpts from the unused cuts for a film that he made here in South Louisiana. So let's, I guess, play. Which one is the first one that you wanted to do? I think Cecil has it queued
up. It's the Hofpauer Sisters from New Iberia.
1934. And this song that Cecil has queued up on the record player is Saison sur Mer.
On a laissé six ans sur mer, sans pouvoir border la terre. Au bout de la septième année, on a manqué de provisions. Au bout de la septième année, on a manqué de provisions. On a mangé souris et rats jusque le souffle du navire. On a mangé souris et rats jusque le souffle du navire. On a tiré la courte paille pour voir lequel qui serait mangé. On a tiré la courte paille pour voir lequel je serai mangé. On voit la petite gens qui sont de ça. Ça serait petit gens qui serait mangé. On voit la petite gens qui sont de ça. Ça serait petit gens qui serait mangé. Oh, petit Jean, ça y fait du mal. Il crie courage, mes camarades. Oh, petit Jean, ça y fait du mal. Il crie courage, mes camarades. Je vois la terre de tous côtés. Trois pigeons blancs qui t'avons pigé. Je vois la terre sur tous côtés, trois pigeons blancs que ça va figer. Je vois aussi trois filles du prince qui se promènent au long du rivage. Je vois aussi trois filles du prince qui se promènent au long du rivage. Oh, si jamais je mets mes pieds sur terre, la plus jolie, je l'épouserai. Oh, si jamais je mets mes pieds sur terre, la plus jolie, je l'épouserai.
That was the Hofpauer Sisters, 1934, with the song Saison sur Mer. 1934, John and Alan Lomax came to Louisiana and recorded songs, as John Sharp was saying, out of the back of their car with a recording studio set up, essentially.
Right, a 300-pound disc etcher that would, you know, was a very, from what I understand, a very temperamental machine. And
but look what they got out of it.
Right.
That's incredible.
And thank goodness that they did that.
Yeah. So Alan Lomax was quite young at this time. He was probably a teenager.
I believe he was in 34. I think he was either 16 or 18.
Mm-hmm. So developing a passion for documenting people and their music already that young.
Right. And that was his father John's his you know, stock and trade. He collected ballads and cowboy songs, and that's what he was most well known for. And in some of Alan Lomax's writing, he mentions that on this trip his dad let him do some of his own work, or maybe that might have been 1937, mm-hmm. that he let him go out on his own and find some people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in 1934, some of the places they went were New Iberia, Kaplan, White Oak, Jennings, Indian Bayou, and also to Angola to record prison songs. And they're, you know, one of most famously probably of all the people that they encountered on their Louisiana trips is Leadbelly, who's they petitioned on his behalf to be released from Angola
right.
because of his music.
Amazing lives. And that was really the beginning of his relationship with Louisiana. The films that you'll be showing tonight are outtakes or excerpts from the film or parts of the film that didn't make it into the regular one of a film he made when in the 70s or 80s?
He made the film, the filming was done from 1982 to 1985. Mm-hmm. As you just mentioned, he fell very deeply in love with Louisiana at the very beginning. He and one of the outtakes that I have chosen to show tonight is he's having a conversation with Canray Fontenot, and he mentions that this is the place that he met he courted his first girl, that he drank wine for the first time, and you know, that he just, it was magic to him, mm-hmm. and he could never escape it. There's a lot of really interesting things.
Well, just that first piece you played is magic.
Oh,
you
know,
can you imagine a young man who has an interest in that coming and hearing these girls singing in French, and they record that, 1934.
Yeah.
It's really amazing. So the film he made in the 1980s, that is a well-known film, I mean,
sure.
among documentary filmmakers. How did you all get the outtakes?
Well, the film... Or the film in its completed form is called Cajun Country, and it's a film that's part of the American Patchwork series that was widely seen on public broadcast all across the United States. Dr. Barry Onsley participated in that in the filming. He showed him around and introduced him to some people, and when Dr. Onsley started the Archive of Cajun Creole Folklore, which is one of the places that I do a lot of work. It's one of the two arms that I'm associated with at the Center for Louisiana Studies. He asked if he could get a copy of all of the complete footage for research. And so at that time, Alan Lomax had already started this it's called the Association for Cultural Equity, and he petitioned them to get the footage, and they released copies of it. And so it's not something that you can just see anywhere. This is a special thing. Mm-hmm. This footage is very unusual to have. To be able to see.
So this is a rare thing that we'll get to see tonight at Vermilionville. Again, my guests are Jesse Guidry with Vermilionville, John Sharp, who is Assistant Director for Research at the Center for Louisiana Studies. He is curating the showing tonight at Vermilionville for LaveView, and they are outtakes from the film Cajun Country by Alan Lomax, who came here so often over so many decades. How did you go about choosing the outtakes that you're going to show tonight at Vermilionville?
Well, one of the things that I truly love about my job, and that I think we're all of us who work in the Center for Louisiana Studies, we're so lucky because we frequently get to experience these materials that other people don't. You know, they're not widely known. Mm-hmm. So I was interested when I heard that we had the footage when I was in grad school, and I watched some of that, and I watched it with our archivist Chris Segura, and you know there were things that we've talked about over the years since then about how great some of these things were, and that it's kind of a shame that no one will ever. If you come to our office, you can watch them, but you know
it's not an easy thing to do,
right?
Right,
they're not on YouTube.
Yeah. So we kind of mentioned, you know, we talked about what a shame it was that these things are inaccessible to the majority of people, you know, unless they want to come to the archive and watch them. So when Jesse mentioned the series, I thought, wow, this is a great opportunity to showcase things that we have in the archive, and to let people see some of these things that they need to see.
Like, that have already become history, even
sure.
from the early 80s. Most of those right. performers are not there anymore.
That's true. Mm-hmm. And some of the, you know, just to give you an example, some of the things I already mentioned, they'll be part of a very long interview with Can Ray Fontenot. There's also a great interview with Dennis McGee. Then there'll be, I also chose to show, I'm sorry. So the reason that I chose these things is that I just found them really interesting. Mm-hmm. And some of them are because they're people that are interesting and important figures in the culture here, but it may be that these are little insights into their personality. It's not a still photograph of, mm-hmm. or it's not just playing music.
Right.
It's,
we may know some of those iconic photographs, but actually seeing them moving, talking, expressing themselves about the culture.
Right. And I found that really great to mm-hmm. be able to see how funny these people were, and you know, to and the Dennis McGee interview is hilarious. And then also in the Cajun Country, in the finished film, I think there's about 30 seconds of Dennis McGee being named the honorary dean of Cajun music at a Raging Cajun's football game.
And you don't get to hear the rest of that interview.
And it's just like one little bitty couple of cutaway shots, and that's it. And so altogether, there's about 5 or 6 minutes of that footage. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought, you have to show that.
You know? Well, and again, as Jesse said, this is not something you can Google, not something you can look up on the web. Tonight at Vermilionville, you'll be able to see some of these outtakes from the footage that Alan Lomax filmed here in South Louisiana in the early 80s. Again, John Sharp is the Assistant Director for Research at the Center for Louisiana Studies here at UL Lafayette and is curating this selection of pieces from Alan Lomax's film, For Les Vues, which is a film series at Vermilionville the last Monday of every month. And it's hard to believe it's already here, but it is the last Monday of the month.
It goes quick.
And that's tonight. It's free and open to everyone. What time does it start, Jesse?
It starts at 6:30, and we will have some refreshments available for purchase, as well as candy and popcorn. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
please. All right, come. Just like a film. You can enjoy it.
Absolutely. It's pretty great. And it's one of the, you know, starting this series, it's really great working with all the curators mm-hmm. to see what they naturally gravitate towards and what films they pick, because they usually go with what they're passionate about. Because mm-hmm. after the film, if you've not attended, we have a discussion just about mainly whatever the curator wants to talk about. But a lot of times it has to do with the audience bringing their own stories and sharing. So it's almost like this big sharing circle. So that's one of my favorite parts that has evolved out of this series. So, you know, please do come willing to watch the movie and also willing to share your stories and with questions, because we love that. The discussion is just as great as the actual watching of the clips. And also, it's not, you know, for those that have come in the past, it's not going to be this feature film that you're watching. It is going to be clips, so it's a little bit different. But I think that that's what makes this series great, is that, you know, every month it could be something different. I put no regulations on the curators. Mm-hmm. They choose what they want, and it's been a really great experience so far.
Well, very rare clips, and again, Netflix won't have them.
No, that's
so,
right.
Tonight at Vermilionville, it's free, open to everyone. Great opportunity to bring young people to find out more about this culture, and even ourselves. You know, mm-hmm. the early 80s, you may not remember some of those things. So, Les Vues, you can find out more by going to the Vermilionville website. Of course, you have Facebook, and
Absolutely.
People can sign up for that as well. And don't forget Dance Halls of South Louisiana on Facebook, and find out more about John's research and the photographs and film clippings from his work. Well, thank you both for coming by, and I think
thank
we're going
to
go out with another piece from 1934, Alan Lomax's and his father's recordings. And this is called J'ai fait tout le tour du pays from 1934. That's Jimmy Peters and the Ring Dance Singers.
Oh, ma mettra dans le ciel.